for all those people out there maybe who were lucky enough to go and see them on their stadium tour. And we're going to now do something very special on the programme, because you will be aware, regular listeners, that, you know, we do have big interviews on the programme. And someone thought that given it was the holiday season, wouldn't it be great fun to turn the tables on Stephen himself? So we thought, who better to put under the microscope than Stephen Nolan in a big interview for the programme? And the next question, of course, logically was, who should ask the questions? Who would face the wrath of Stephen? Who wouldn't be shaken? Who wouldn't be deterred from asking the hard-hitting questions? Well, I opted out, and our very own Vinny decided he would take up the challenge. Across the seat from Stephen, he looked him in the eye. He asked the hard-hitting questions. So here it is, the big interview with Stephen. And Vinny started off by asking him, why, Stephen, do you work so hard?
I'm not sure if I do work very, very hard all the time. If I think of the likes of my mum and dad, my mother, when she was working, she's retired now doing my head in, Big Audrey. But when she was working, so she would have got up at 2 o'clock in the morning and went on a kind of overnight shift, and she would have worked a 10-hour day, and she would have come back with about 100 quid a week. And my dad worked really hard too. And so when people say to me, do I work hard? Yes, I put the hours in, and I put a lot of myself into the projects I do. Do I think I'm working a lot harder than other people? No, I don't.
True, but at the same time, you do have, technically now with a TV show, what could be 3 jobs. You've got Radio Ulster, you've got 5 Live.
Yeah, I do. And I've got a couple of other TV projects that I'm doing next year.
Always
as
working.
Well. But what's your point?
My point is, you know, you must want to have some kind of life outside of work where you're relaxing, where you're chilling out. Do you do any of that? Or is it get up in the morning, go to work, come back, go to bed, and then repeat every day, 7 days a week?
Well, you're making me out to be this machine.
No, but I'm trying to say, I'm not necessarily saying this is a negative thing, but I'm saying for yourself, you know, I'm not saying you're old, but you're getting a bit older. So when people get older, maybe they start to, you know, work isn't as important and other things around them start to become more important
Yeah, I see what you're saying. Work's always going to be important to me, and I'm not the type of person that can leave the job to other people. Mm-hmm. You know, well, you work with me on the radio show, but you know that I'm pretty hands-on, and you know, even if I'm not in the office, that I care about what's been done and I want to know what's been done.
And I think that your mind is working constantly. You know, if you're maybe even watching TV, you're still thinking about work at some point.
Well, of
that's
course
why
it is.
I get a text from you at 11 o'clock at night or 2 in the morning.
But what's wrong with that? Because, you know, there's a product that's called The Nolan Show, and I want to look after it, and I care about it, and I want it to be as successful as possible. What's wrong with that? I was reading David Letterman's book after most shows. He's furious with himself, because he doesn't think he has performed as well as he could.
Are you the same?
He gives the team a really hard time.
I am seeing
now
some similarities here.
Am I the same?
Very much so.
So,
in fact, the other day, you were sitting after the radio show in the corner of the studio, just staring at the wall
because I was furious.
I said, what was wrong? And he said, it was a terrible show.
And that's what I was going to tell you. So I do recognise, and this might be different than some other broadcasters, if I have a bad programme for whatever reason, I am absolutely furious. You know, beyond belief furious. And that can manifest itself in different ways. You know, if something's edited and I don't think the right material has been put into it, I am frustrated for the rest of the day. I'm angry. And therefore, I think as I get older, that has to be tempered. But I think that's what drives you as well. I started off, Vinny, not being able to get into the BBC. I started off with the BBC not being interested in me, telling me I wasn't
good enough. What did they say to you when they said you weren't good enough?
Well, they ignored me and they said no.
So what happened? What changed?
Well, I kept on battering, and some of the people in here just wouldn't let me in. And therefore, the alternative for me was to, I always wanted to work in the BBC, and it was back to that kind of notion again of, you know, I was driven and there was a certain anger that I couldn't achieve what I wanted to achieve. So what I did was I went to City Beat and I won Sony Awards, the radio equivalent of the Oscars, 3 or 4 years in a row. And every single time I was in that room in London, I was basically looking over at the BBC executives basically sending them a message. And the message was, you don't want me? Well, do you want me now? You don't want me? Well, I've now got this UK award. Do you want me now?
So surely you must feel a great sense of achievement now that you're at the BBC. You've been here for years. But to me, and I know you maybe fairly well, you still don't seem very content with where you are.
I don't feel a sense of entitlement to be at the BBC.
And but entitlement and contentment are two different things.
Absolutely. I said this the other day and I mean it. Your biggest achievement in life is if you can find contentment in life. If you can be contented in life, that's when you've made it. Now, am I content in life? Absolutely not. Absolutely not. As you get older, you've got to reconcile, don't you? You've got to reconcile ambition and drive and what you want to achieve with the reality that you're getting older and that there are other things in life that you've got to do and you want to do, and maybe you settle down and maybe you get a, you know, you mature a little bit. And so I'm still reconciling all that in my mind. This job that I'm doing, it is based on whether you're delivering or not. It's all me. It's on my shoulders.
After
it's
all
my
that,
responsibility.
Do you still enjoy what you do?
Of course I enjoy it. It's absolutely brilliant.
You give your mum quite a hard time on the programme.
Yes.
And you say that she tortures you, but I think it's quite clear that at the same time, you're very close to your mum.
Of course I'm very close to her. I love her dearly. She's very, very special. She is an incredible mother. She has surrounded me with love all her life, as did my dad. My dad's dead now. And I'm very, very aware that I had two parents. At every single breathing moment of their life, it was at the forefront of their brain, how's Stephen? To this very day, my mother, you know, she'll ring me if it's raining. Don't you get wet? If it's cold, have you got a jumper on? To this very day, and I'm 38 years of age. Now, you know, That's just the little anecdotal signs of how much she loves me and I love her very, very dearly. I don't know what I'd do without her.
What about yourself? Would you like to have kids, or did you ever want to have kids?
Would I like to have kids? I'd love to have kids, yeah. But I can hardly look after myself. You know, I'm very, very... What are my flaws? I'm very, very disorganised, as you know. I cannot organise anything. I lose everything I have, which would be a big problem if you had a child. You know, I think I'm on to my 7th or 8th passport now.
You're on a special list for your passport?
I am on a special... I think I'm on some type of very special list, as in they're keeping a very close watch on me.
Because you've had so many.
Yes, because I lose them and I can't not lose them. And so that's a mayhem, isn't it? That's a disorganisation and a mayhem that isn't good.
Do you think a part of you perhaps likes the mayhem in that, not necessarily that things can be a mess sometimes, but there's a bit of a push, a drive, a buzz. Oh, will I make that flight on time? I've left it with maybe 5 minutes to get through the gate. There's a buzz of the show. Do you crave that kind of adrenaline rush?
I think that's a difference between the person I used to be and me now realising I'm getting older. So I used to thrive off the mayhem. And I think actually, looking back on it now, I think I would have created some of the mayhem in order to just, I don't know, make it slightly more exciting. But now that I'm older, I can't be bothered. I really can't. So I want things organised. And the stage I'm getting to in my life is I'm still not capable of organising, as you know. So I get other people to do it for me. You know, so you know that. I get you guys in the office to sort things out for me because I am simply not capable. I don't know how to do it.
But if I wasn't there to do it for you, you would do it yourself. Maybe not in the most direct,
you see, I don't think I would
pre-planned
do it
way. But
maybe the next me, maybe the continuing evolving mess that is me might be able to do it myself. I'm just about at the stage now, seriously, where I'm able to get up on time in the morning so that I'm not rushing to work, so that I'm in here on time.
Most days.
Most days, some days not. You know, you talk about me getting frustrated. This programme that I do, it's always going to have critics, and rightly so.
With the criticism, does that ever hurt you? Does it ever upset you? Because you're so passionate about your work and the programme and you want it to be the best. When people say to you, do you know what, Stephen? Especially people maybe that are quite powerful or influential in Northern Ireland.
I think when you get to this stage, what happens is you develop a skin.
Uh-huh.
You develop a thick skin. I can honestly say that I take it in. I think about it. Does it hurt me? No. And that's honestly, because I come from the position of, we are doing the right thing and we are genuinely trying to be fair and decent.
But you are a big softy at the end of it.
Of course
it all.
I am.
You know, and one thing that I often wonder is when I see people commenting on something that maybe you invite in yourself, but you're with.
Mm-hmm.
You talk about it constantly.
Yes.
Almost, to me, it seems that you talk about it more than most people would, so that if people do say anything to you, it doesn't hurt as much.
No,
but
not true. That's not why I say it. The reason I say it is very simple, because it's a flaw in me.
Mm-hmm.
So why not talk about it?
Why expose your flaws? Most people do the opposite.
Because I think I can, and it's something that I worry about, and I'm fat, and actually I'm getting fatter.
I've walked down the street with you and had people shout things at you about your weight.
Yes.
Now, they think it's funny.
Yes.
But that must hurt you.
No, it doesn't hurt me. It really doesn't. I think it's an ongoing conversation. The one thing that people have done in Northern Ireland in terms of me is they've accepted me, kind of warts and all. I know I'm irritating some days. I know.
Very much so.
Yeah. And they kind of accept that. And so therefore, I think it's important. Well, what's the alternative? What is seriously the alternative? It's the alternative for me to say to somebody, I'm sorry, you know, talk every day on the show about your lives, but I'm not going to talk about mine. I don't know. I guess I also want to talk about it because I want to beat it. And, I want to somehow fight against it, and therefore to talk openly about it kind of makes me convince myself that one day I will beat it.
You know, you've been up and down even in the three and a half years that I've known
you. Yes. And people like you really irritate me because you're so skinny.
Do you think that...
You're not good looking, but you're skinny.
Do you think you'll ever beat it?
No. I think I might have some short-term success. I have no doubt that I'll yo-yo down again.
So, but why never beat it?
Because that lust for bad food is imprinted on my brain. Do I ever imagine a day where I'll get up and I'll not want to eat bad food? No. And therefore, I think that's going to be an ongoing struggle for the rest of my life, I think.
Well, maybe looking at it from a different angle, would you consider surgery?
Surgery scares me.
But have you considered it?
No.
Honestly?
No.
Even after, you know, many diets up and down, you never thought, you know what, maybe it is time to think about something a bit more drastic.
You see, I think that's something, again, about what we were talking about at the start of the programme in terms of how I view a lot of stuff as my responsibility. I think it's my responsibility to lose weight. And therefore, I think surgery for me would be a cop-out. I think I should have the willpower.
But surely at some point it gets to the point where it's not willpower, it's just not going to happen. And for your own health and for your...
That's defeatist.
You know, no, but...
You're looking at me now, you're trying to say I'm at that point now.
Well, you're... What weight are you now?
22 stone.
22 and a bit. So, and how long...
Not a bit.
How long have you been
there? No, not a bit. 22 stone.
My point is that it gets to the point where eventually you have got to think, my dieting is not working, and for my health, perhaps surgery is the best thing to try.
I think for me, surgery would mess my head up because I'd be thinking, I didn't beat that myself. You see, I like coming up against adversity and then battering it down.
You like a challenge?
Yeah. You're a challenge.
I was thinking the exact same thing. What does off-air Stephen do whenever he's not working? Those rare downtimes.
So what I have done is I've started to build things in to my life so that I make sure that I'm not just working. So every single week in life, I go to the cinema. Every week in life. Now, sometimes I walk out of the cinema if it's a bad film. And that's only after the popcorn's finished.
Yes, of course.
Which is true. I would argue there would be some weeks I only go for the popcorn. But I go to the cinema every weekend. I usually go on a Sunday when I'm in England, working in England. I see my best friend every single weekend in life. I make sure I do that. I've got a few close friends, very close friends, here in Northern Ireland. I make sure I see them for dinner and things during the week. And that's it. You know, I watch DVDs at home and that's it. Can I, when I'm in a wee training spot, I go to the gym and that's it? But what more do I want? Sorry, the other thing that I am starting to do, and I guess this is the benefit of having a wee bit of money. You see, I drive a six-year-old car.
You're quite proud of that, though.
Well, I don't know if I'm... I'll tell you why I'm proud of it. It's not so much a statement of, oh, look at me. I only drive a six-year-old car. I'm not trying to falsely prove anything. The reason I'm proud of it is because I've ordered a new car twice and then cancelled it. The reason I'm proud of it is because I'm really delighted that I have resisted that temptation.
Once again, there's a challenge you've set yourself.
Yeah. You see, you resist the temptation of the smell of the new car and the marketing and the lust for something. And you actually think about it. You know, it's like, you know, do you get a tooth replaced when you don't need to? So why do I need a new car? My car is working. It's a nice car. It's a really nice car. Why do I need a new one? So I resist it, and that's what I'm proud of.
Constant challenges you set yourself. Yes. It's like you're torturing yourself. Why not just, if you can afford a new car and your old car is six years old, why not change it if you've got plenty of money? Not that I'm saying that you do, although I think you do. You know, why set yourself another challenge, something else you have to give in to and go and buy the new car or fight against it?
Well, that's an interesting question. I think you are hitting on something there. I don't know. It's me. It's what I do.
How else is Stephen different off air from on air?
Well, you tell me. You work with me.
I do think you're a big softie. You're a very generous person. And I do think, and you're going to laugh at me, and I can't even look at you when I say this, but I do think that Stephen just wants to be loved.
I just want... Don't we all?
Well, we do, but some of us crave it more than others.
Nonsense. To answer your specific question, and then I'll go wider, what I try to do in broadcasting, I try to keep it as real as possible. So I think the reason that the programme is connecting with so many of the public is because if I come in and I'm in bad form, that's it. If I come in and I'm burping, that's it. If I come in and I'm shouting at you, that's it. And I think it's easier to be real. And it's a lot of hard work to be false. So on the wider scale, do I want to be loved? Of course I do. On the wider scale, do I want to be liked? Yes, we all do. And that's part of the complexity of this job, that there are people that form opinions of you through their perception of what you do. And I find that extraordinary. You know, so there's some people think that I'm this real tough guy, and you know, I get, you know, 24 hours a day I'm getting stuck into people. Wise up, for goodness sake. You know, I'm an ordinary person like anybody else. So, you know, if I'm getting stuck into a politician, fine. That's because I have to.
Final question.
Sometimes I want to. It's good fun sometimes.
Bachelor at 38.
Yeah.
Is that something you want to change?
Ooh, now there's an interesting question, because by the time you get to 38,
mm-hmm.
I think you're starting to get to the point where you're used to living on your own. And so therefore, you know, that individual space that I have around me is sometimes quite lonely, but often quite nice. And that freedom that I have is sometimes quite lonely, but often quite nice. And so I actually think that is a pivotal question that will probably be answered within the next 2 or 3 years, but not now. It's nearly like I'm coming to that crescendo where you think to yourself, right, well, you know, do you know what? If I get much older and I'm still living this singular life, then that's going to be it forever.
Does that scare you?
No. Makes me think about it. Doesn't scare me. Makes me think about it. And it's a big question, isn't it? It's a massive question.
Perhaps you've built that up, your busy, hectic lifestyle. Maybe part of that is because, you know, when you're that busy, you don't have time to notice that when you go home, it is just yourself.
Yeah, maybe.
There you go. The day the tables were turned on Stephen Nolan. Stephen, the subject of the big interview, asking the questions, of course, was our Vinny.